We are KZSC, the best dang college radio station in the whole universe. Man, I mean, we are just kicking it. The whole universe, and we're up here on stilts in a little cabin in the Redwoods up the UCSC campus. And I'm just going to pop you two on right now because you're over there laughing and giggling. And we need to get your laughter on air. Yes, KZSC Santa Cruz, you're tuned into Conciliation Sunday. I'm your host, Kevin Spitzer, and in the studio we have, well, she was a co-host of sorts, Melissa Stone. You haven't used the Santangelo yet.
Well, on Facebook, but yeah, I'm working on changing it.
I just think it's the best name in the world. Santangelo. It's kind of a saint, a holy angel, right?
Well, that's what it means, yeah.
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 I mean, geez, just take it. Take it and run, girl. Especially since things are shifting in your life.
Exactly. I mean,
my goodness. And we have Daniel Gross.
Good morning.
Yeah, morning. Good to have you in here. And you're no stranger to microphone. We were talking about that you've done a lot of radio.
Been doing some radio, half a lifetime ago, back in high school, KNYO and KESR AM 600, a little AM daytime radio station. Used to work there after high school. And the radio station manager used to hire high school students to work in the radio station because, well, we go cheap.
Cheap.
$3.35 an hour, you bet.
Oh, my goodness.
Keeps the overhead low, so.
And doesn't he, folks, doesn't he just have the best voice in the world, though? Wouldn't you want to just listen to him? He could say any kind of crazy things, and you just keep listening.
I know. I make him read to me.
Oh, yeah.
Because it sounds so cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Read that newspaper article to me. Yeah. That sounds great. Yeah, well, that's neat. The whole feeling comfortable with bringing a message across is an important piece. So you've had that desire to do this since a kid, like, I want my voice to be heard kind of thing?
Well, actually, doing radio, I listened to radio as a kid. I loved listening to radio, so...
Transistors, is this one?
Oh, yeah.
Are we gonna age you right now?
Actually, even before that, tubes.
Tubes.
Yeah, fire up the console.
How old are you?
But you're not that old.
we had tube radios back when I was a kid, and so yeah, I'm 46.
Oh, so well, I've been around a little bit. I'm 58, and that was like transistors. You had a transistor radio glued up to your ear to listen to anything.
Yep.
But at that time, for me, DJs listening to some of the wild DJs around Baltimore, it's like, wow. But my earliest was I had gotten in trouble in Catholic school and I had to announce the late buses in the in the principal's office. So that was my first mic experience. Thank you, Sister Margaret.
Exactly. Now look where you're at.
Still being punished, getting up early. No.
On a Sunday.
See? No Saturday nights for you, young man. You're going to go to bed early and get up and do this.
That's a lifetime of karma.
Well, my parents and my brothers and sisters would probably say yes, that's true.
What'd you do, Kevin?
Oh, I was just a redheaded kid with the boy with too much energy and a little bit of anger. Have to move through those things. So, Daniel, where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Southern California in the Valley, San Fernando Valley, Granada Hills, and then we moved up to Eastern High Sierra to Lone Pine. I was about 12. And that's where I got my first radio experience up there.
Big family or?
No, small family. Got my sister and my folks, my mom and dad.
It sounds very rural, all those places.
Very rural. Actually, San Fernando Valley was big, but then moving up to rural Lone Pine was a big shift for me. There's
Lone Pine.
Lone Pine.
That's where they bury those folks in the old cowboy movies.
And a lot of cowboy movies shot up that way, actually.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. They got the big scenic High Sierra backdrop and Hoplon Cassidy, Tom Mix, a few of the other...
What was the movie that you showed me that was filmed in... What was the one that we turned on the TV in?
What was that one? Iron Man was shot up there, the first Iron Man movie.
Oh, all right. Were they
supposed to be Afghanistan, but we call it Lone Pinistan because that's where it was shot. But you'll see a lot of, like, four-wheel drive truck commercials and things like that shot up that way because it's just that wonderful High Sierra backdrop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Lone Pine was an interesting place to spend my teen years.
I would think Big Skies.
Big skies. Yeah, more big mountains, and then you've got some sky. The mountains on both sides, actually.
Okay.
You've got the High Sierras on one side, and then the Inyo and White Mountain Range on the other side.
Uh-huh.
So it's the kind of the portal out to Death Valley.
Oh, that's right. That's where I was going to go next. That kind of... a lot of things close by, and as a young teenager, you were... looking at the vastness of the world, and
I was a little disgruntled because I was a suburban kid. I was into skateboarding and stuff, and moving up there where there's ranches and cowboys and horses wasn't not exactly my first choice.
Mom, this ain't cool at all, Dad.
but Dad was very cool. He helped me build a skateboard ramp. He paid for all the wood and. Helped us build a skateboard ramp in the back. So,
how many brothers and sisters again?
Just one sister.
One sister.
Yeah.
And you're the youngest, the oldest?
Older. Yeah.
Oh, you're the responsible one. at least they say that. You were supposed to carry the name of the family and get in line with... What did Dad do for a living?
Dad worked for the Department of Water and Power for Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the water that goes to L.A. comes from that area.
Wow.
So they put together the aqueduct that takes together...
Right. What was that movie, China?
Chinatown.
Yeah, the whole... Was your dad part of that nasty...
Not
down business.
Fortunately, he wasn't, but he did. He worked in the pump shop that they'd had groundwater pumps that would take water up and out of the area. That's where LA gets most of its water in that area.
And so from there, you went to college. You were one of those who didn't.
No, I decided I needed a little more suburban or actually urban area. I moved up to Oakland, and.
I wanted some real life experience.
Yeah, got a little more action out there.
I wanted to start making some money right now.
I did a myriad of different jobs. Did some auto parts delivery, did some plumbing, did some brake and clutch relining, a lot of different things. And did a lot of searching during those times and searching within, too.
Right.
That's where I kind of... dove into my psychological studies.
Kind of personal growth stuff, right?
Yeah, figure out my own head, and that's where I started learning some psychology and digging in.
Mm-hmm.
And then met my first wife there, and we soon moved down here to Santa Cruz area and found this was home for me. I loved it down here.
Yeah, really. Well, it's not the love, right?
It's beautiful. Wonderful place to be. Mm-hmm. You bet. And, so I started a little more personal growth and then got into some IT work. Did some studying on computers. Needed to find a different direction as far as my career. Mm-hmm. Needed to make some more money.
Right.
So,
do you have kids or no?
I have one kid. Uh-huh. He's 22 now, going to Cabrillo College.
That'll make you want to make more money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Out of necessity, you bet.
Mm-hmm. The mother of invention.
Yep, he definitely got me back on track as far as career. And so I did some IT work and software quality assurance for about a dozen years.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my main career. And after a while, found that I was just getting burned out working with devices and software. I'd had some fun with it, but it just wasn't fulfilling as far as a career anymore. And I wanted to work with people. I enjoy working with people.
Mm-hmm.
And... So, after working a bit in that field and coming up on a personal crisis, actually, it was a conveniently midlife crisis right around my 40th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I'd let my health deteriorate because I was working 15-hour days, sometimes longer.
Yikes!
Doing testing on some cell phones and working with my Korean counterparts on their time, and then coming back and starting my day again at 8 a.m. So Korean time, it's 2 and 3 in the morning. So after getting myself to the point where I was 50 pounds overweight and developing type 2 diabetes from drinking energy drinks and working myself into...
A good frenzy,
yeah. Burning my body out, burning my mind out.
Mm.
I needed to check myself. And I discovered hypnosis after getting my type 2 diabetes. I needed to de-stress and found hypnosis again, actually back in high school, back in Lone Pine. We had a hypnotist, a stage hypnotist, come and do a demonstration for us. I was like 14 at the time. And he did the usual stuff, making kids act like a chicken and sign autographs as Burt Reynolds and Farrah Fawcett Majors and
mm-hmm.
like that.
Wow.
And they had some pretty good signatures. They looked pretty authentic as star signatures. But his
no taking clothes off or
no
anything.
No taking clothes off.
It's high school.
Well, that's what I thought everybody'd be saying, like, make him take clothes off.
Wildly inappropriate.
Make him do something like that, that everybody can laugh about for years.
But he did a big finale where he took one of our high school volleyball player girls. She's 16 years old, athletic, but still a 16-year-old girl. But he made her stiff as a board. He worked with her for about a minute. Everybody had gone under hypnosis, but he worked with her one-on-one for about a minute, and then he put his hands down the side of her body and said, stiff as a board, all the way, stiff as a board. And her body became very, very rigid. And once he got her completely stiff as a board, he had a couple of volunteers put her across two chairs facing each other. So had her shoulders on one side and had her calves on the other. And her bottom was unsupported in the middle. And she was stiff as a board. And she didn't quiver, didn't move. Like, wow, that's pretty good. And then this grown man steps up on her like a step stool.
Oh, geez.
Right about her hips and stands up on her.
That sounds like physical abuse now.
It sure does. Huh?
Report that guy.
But she didn't move. Huh? She didn't quiver. She didn't waver. It didn't even look like she was working at it.
Wow.
Because her subconscious mind had taken over and made her stiff as a board. So everybody's jaws dropped and went, wow, I can't believe what I'm just seeing. So that left an impression. And I found hypnosis later on while I'm dealing with this body and mind crisis and got to check myself here. I was like, wow, that was powerful stuff. So I started to dig in and I took a few online courses and just started studying as much as I could about hypnosis and finding out just how powerful it was and started using it in my own life. And it just got me to a much more centered, relaxed place and made that drive. I used to take the drive from Santa Cruz over to Los Gatos every day there and back. And that can be kind of stressful, but it became a game to me.
The roller coaster ride.
Yeah, it's like, hey, that guy cut me off. Oh, well, I'll just go over the other lane and drive around him.
Uh-huh.
And became like a big game. And work was no longer a big deal. It was like I just deal with things and move on.
Just move through it, right.
So, fairly recently here, it was actually at the end of April, I got a chance to leave my job with a bit of a golden parachute. And I decided to take on hypnosis as a full-time career. I've been doing it for a couple of years, working on people on the side with some coworkers, having some great success with them. And, I felt this was a great time to get out there and do it full-time.
Mm-hmm.
Been having a wonderful time doing it, too. It's very gratifying.
Fun. So it sounds like you're fresh to it, but you've been interested in it for a long time. When you're saying the crisis body and mind, you know, with this show, it's like body, mind, spirit, and emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have a spiritual background, or do you have that aspect to yourself?
I really do. I've had very spiritual people in my family, all through my family. And
this is spiritual, not religious. Are they hallelujah religious too?
Well, you know, it's funny. I remember my grandmother. She was very, very spiritual, but she'd have like the religious programs on. During the 70s, I remember her watching some various. I think Jim Baker was one of them, and you know, she'd have these people on.
Jim and Tammy.
Yeah, Jim and Tammy.
I wanted to see how Tammy was going to do her makeup today. If she found somebody new to do it. Nope, she's still doing it by herself.
But you know, you see these. I want to use the word charlatans, but you know, these people on there asking for money and all these things, and But she was never that type. She was never a holy roller. She was very spiritual. And she'd lay hands on me and you know, when I'd hurt myself as a kid. And I always felt better. And it was like...
Devil be gone. And then Daniel disappeared. Oh, no. Devil be back. And there he was.
No. But that kind of real spirituality, that kind of energy,
nice,
always came across to
sweet
me. And I understood it. And I'd always try to help my friends out. When mm-hmm when people had issues, I would be one of those people they'd come to.
And you got
they always felt very comfortable.
A good ear, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's got a great ear.
So, yeah, it was always one of those things. I enjoy helping other people. I've mm-hmm been very empathic with other people's emotions. I could feel them. And so, you know, working with other people, when they feel good, I feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So this became kind of a natural thing for me. Working with hypnosis, I can check into people and work with them so that they're feeling great and they're smiling when they leave my clinic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, nice. Well, I think that I just interviewed my sensei, who's a Tai Chi Qigong teacher, and he's basically the same thing. Very in tune with people's suffering and happiness, mm-hmm, and when the student is happy, he's happy.
Yeah.
And but he comes in with his initial happiness of his own.
Right.
He loves people, and he's just like, you know, excited to be in the dance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna come back to you because the whole hypnosis thing is a great conversation, and I know a wee bit about it, but we'll get farther into it. So you two have run into each other, and you're kind of off from your regular career, taking a break too. Sounds like you're both at this perfect little period where,
yep,
oh, let's jump into this, yep, the new world. When the world ends, we're going to be doing something different.
Yeah.
And but you've had the spa, the Balance Studio Spa, for a long time.
Yeah, we're on our ninth year. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing massage therapy and energy work for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also teach yoga and things like that. And
and you got that, I interviewed you on that tool, that cool little toolkit.
Balance toolkit, yeah. So I've put out
media. Written
a
book and the whole thing.
Yeah, so I've put out media. I've put out my journey on a book and CDs and a DVD so that I can help other people with what I've learned in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. And you've had your own challenges through life, as yes, we all do when we get to the stage where we want to help others. It's usually because we have a history of,
yep,
really screwing up. No, I mean, really just, yeah, being challenged by, wow, wait, I'm trying to live life the way I was told to, and
yeah,
I don't agree.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had to, you know, I've had my own weight loss struggle,
mm-hmm,
that I've pretty much won the last 16 years of my life,
mm-hmm,
and you know, different, you know, dealing with stress like everybody.
Right.
You know, we're not taught how to deal with stress.
No.
Nobody teaches us that. So, you know, when you get out of school, you got to figure that out. You know. So yeah, that's my journey, is how to deal with stress, body image, things like that.
Yeah, and you've got a bunch of tools up there. The infrared, you got the foot soaking thing that draws out the toxins.
I know, you want to try that.
I want to try that one still, yeah.
Yeah, so I have the ionic foot detox. I have three ways to detox people. The ionic foot detox, the infrared sauna, and then body wrapping.
Is that like in cellophane kind of thing?
No, it's actually cloth.
We'll come back in a few years.
Yeah,
in cloth?
It's cloth. It's, so I basically make you a mummy. So I soak cloth in a tea, and then I mummify you.
Well, what's the kind of tea? Do you get to pick, like, berry? I want fruit.
No, it's a company that makes, they've scientifically figured out that this, you know, chickweed and parsley,
uh-huh,
and papaya enzymes and comfrey and all this kind of stuff together pulls toxins out of the body.
So you become like a big poultice.
Yeah.
There's one big poultice. Here again, it'd be nothing left of Kevin when he was all finished.
So I wrap you up and then put you in blankets, and you sit there for a while and let the tea kind of soak in your body, and it helps detoxify the body.
Wow.
And it's something that Edgar Cayce used to do.
He was my man there for
know,
a while. I was
yeah,
reading everything.
Yeah, so he used to wrap people. he did a lot of castor oil kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
and he would wrap people.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember the old castor oil.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you put that soak pad to put it on your abdomen and all kinds of other things that are good for it.
Yeah, and I just started doing a mustard plaster, so I'm trying to bring back all those old-time remedies, you know, to help people, you know, get over colds. And
the more the merrier,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, because it all works, and it's kind of a lost art in America.
The old wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Edgar Cayce, because he's like one of these early originator types, just reading your bio with Milton Erickson, you know, studying neurolinguistic programming with Robert Diltz and Todd Epstein back in the early 80s, you know, knew Richard and all before his craziness. But Milton had such a great natural way of... Well, basically, neurolinguistic programming modeled what Milton was doing. How much of your work is kind of NLP based? Or
I do use NLP to kind of reach people where they're at. You know,
right, languaging and seeing where they're at as far as
their model of the world.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is important because everybody's got their model of the universe in there with all their attitudes, images, opinions, and beliefs.
Yeah. Right. And once you can tailor your message to their model of the world, then communication is established straight away.
Right.
And there's no resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And this is
in the way of, like, if somebody's very visual, they often use visual words.
Yes.
And if somebody's kinesthetic or a feeler, they're using feeling type of words or auditory.
Yes.
So that if married couples having a hard time and one's saying, "Hey, I don't see what you mean," then the other one's going like, "Yeah, but it doesn't feel right to me." You know, it's like, "Oh, we got a problem here, NASA." You're right.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. And when I first got introduced to Bandler and Grinder, Transformations was the book that I'd found, one of the first ones.
Right.
And I learned about those. The visual, auditory, and kinesthetic, and I found out that I was very much a kinesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, that's the empathic part of you.
Yeah, and it kind of switched on a light bulb to me. Mm-hmm. You know, here I'm working in plumbing products, and why is this not really what I want to do? I got to figure out what I'm doing here. You know, this is my early 20s, and but finding that out was a real revelation to me, and it helped me to better tailor what I wanted to do and later on in life.
Yeah, I had similar experience where I think I first, when I was learning construction, I was feeling my way through it.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't as visually oriented as I am now. It's not like, I mean, we have all those aspects in us, but some are stronger than the other.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And now, I mean, I can hallucinate at will and just kind of go like, oh, yeah, I can imagine that wall there and that window there. But let's imagine if the window was moved over just a little bit, you know, that
right.
kind of thing.
Right.
But back then, I'd be lucky if I could imagine a white box in my mind.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
Like, what? Huh? How do you do that? Right. And it was Aldous Huxley's The Art of Seeing that helped me with that. Anyhow, so... Yeah, so you learned that you were more empathic, and how did that help you out?
Well, it helped me realize who I was. I was questioning myself a lot in my early 20s, and just kind of, you know, searching around, looking for who I was.
Mm-hmm. And which we all do around Saturn returns and 20s and all that stuff,
yeah.
Right?
Exactly. So, learning that, and then doing just more study, more study of, like, Jung, and... learning just more about the mind and how it works helped me, you know, figure out my own mind and how I work.
You've got your own mind figured out?
No. I don't think anybody.
I was going to say, I'll come sit at your feet for a while.
Yeah. Take a
let me know how that works for you. Because, I mean, part of it's always changing, I guess, and this is the piece about... you know, getting into the hypnosis part, or we kind of come through life and we have, it's almost like we're Velcro, and all this stuff sticks to us.
Right. And you can choose what sticks to you. That's what some people don't realize.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's real. Yeah.
Isn't that a fun concept?
Yeah. Some people think they have to take all of it, the negativity, the craziness.
No. Hey, this is who I am, man.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, I smoke and drink and do drugs. And get to work late. And can't hold down anything.
And job, stress.
Relationship. Yeah, right. Yep. But I'm happy, man. Yeah. Right, so we have choice.
We have choice. And once you realize you have choice and that you can set your intention to pick up on all the positivity in your life, have gratitude for the things that are great in your life, and you're going to start picking up more of those things once you have your filter set to, no, I'm going to take positive. I'm going to take the best things in life. And you can make your life change overnight in just a matter of minutes.
Overnight? Really?
Yeah.
Because that's what America wants. We
that's
want
right.
that the instant fix.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to work on this for a long time. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's true. We can change our minds just as quickly as, you know, you can think of the color green. And now think of the color red.
Mm-hmm.
Change our minds. It's just a matter of changing our mind.
Yeah, those are things that don't concern us deeply and aren't anchored deep into our psyche and our emotional experiences. Wait, I'm attached to some of my greens and reds. And what happens when, you know, I go under hypnosis and are you going to get rid of parts of me?
Never. No.
Really? Parts won't disappear?
No. No, you'll still be whole. In fact, you'll be even more whole because you're going to be integrated better and you're going to be moving in a positive direction, a much more positive direction, the one that you want to go into.
Okay, so you're saying nothing gets lost in hypnosis?
No, nothing gets lost.
So you're saying things get added?
A change of mind occurs.
Uh-huh.
Yep. You'll still remember everything that you've done and seen and heard.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you'll probably remember more. After a hypnosis session, especially if you're looking for lost memories and things like that. But as far as you're going to gain a new perspective is probably a better way to put it. You're going to gain a new perspective on your situation, whether it be smoking or losing weight or making more money. It's gaining a new perspective and realizing that you can have a different state of mind that's much more positive and beneficial for your life. So you just go with that.
We're talking to Daniel Gross. Hypnotist? Or how do you...
Hypnotist.
What's the label after...
Well, there's...
is it the MD?
Certified Clinical Hypnotherapist.
Oh, CHT.
CHT.
Of Hypnosis Santa Cruz. And Melissa Stone, soon to be Sant'Angelo, here on Conciliation Sunday. Boy, early morning sunrise.
I know.
Our sun, that was kind of fun.
It was nice.
Mm-hmm.
Extra hour sleep.
Yeah. You are tuned into KZSC Santa Cruz, 88.1 FM. Does that really work somehow? It seems like
know.
You lose, you can.
I don't know.
KZSC Santa Cruz. And KZSC would like to thank Aptos Natural Foods for supporting local community radio, celebrating local and sustainable food since 1980. Aptos Natural Foods features a full selection of organic foods and supplements. Aptos Natural Foods is located at 7506 Soquel Drive in Aptos and are open every day from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. They can be reached at 685-3334 or on the web at aptosnaturalfoods.com. The Firefly fans, rejoice. Rejoice, everybody.
Yay.
Friday, November 9th, the Santa Cruz Museum of Natural History kicks off their third installment of Movies at the Museum, Weird Science, with Joss Whedon's Serenity. The film starts at 8 p.m. and will be preceded with a talk by Barry Grimm from the Santa Cruz Astronomy Club, a former NASA employee on space junk. See SantaCruzMuseums.org for more details or call 420-6115. And, yes, I think that's about it. KZSC Santa Cruz, 88.1 FM. I believe that's... Oh, actually, we've got this one to do. The Great 88 would like to thank our listeners who took the time to donate during KCSE's Fall On Air fundraiser, several of whom donated on behalf of their pets.
Huh. That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. If you haven't mailed in your donation yet, or your pet is bothering you to do that, please use the self-addressed envelope and send it in today. If your dog ate your pledge, pledge form, or you'd like to help, call us at 831-459-4036 or click on the word donate at our website, kzse.org. Now, sit, stay, and thank you for supporting KZSE, mankind's second best friend. Who writes this stuff?
Guess I'll have to ask my dog if he wants me to pledge, right?
Yeah, right. The kitty cat.
Donate,
right? That's what he's been barking about. Oh, Jesus, please. Okay. And we're back. Daniel Gross, CHT, certified hypnotherapist, and Melissa Stone, what's the...
CMT, certified massage therapist.
Wow, very good. So, yeah, hypnosis, it's a big one. I think people are afraid.
I think people are afraid, too.
Hypnosis.
Yeah, and they don't need to be. They've seen plenty of things on TV and movies where you've got some mesmerist that's throwing down some crazy eyes on somebody and putting them in a trance and making them do horrible, evil things.
Or somebody with a really deep, kind of easy-to-listen-to voice.
It will just make you very, very relaxed. And do everything I say.
Yes, right. Without your agreement at all. But is it the kind of thing where you really can't do much with anybody unless somehow they're in agreement with it, even on a subconscious level?
Absolutely. And the subconscious is your protector. Your subconscious keeps your heart beating, keeps you breathing. You don't have to consciously think about these things because your subconscious is watching out for you, making sure that your body is taken care of. And it will also keep your sanity intact. And so you...
It doesn't do a very good job of that sometimes.
Well, we can consciously do things that our subconscious probably wouldn't want us to do, but we'll take on because we're consciously doing it to ourselves.
Right.
But our subconscious won't allow us to do things like if somebody, like a hypnotist says, you're going to jump off this bridge. Our subconscious won't allow us to do that. It just won't happen.
And when you're under hypnosis, because he's hypnotized me a couple times, and I've been hypnotized before from other people.
I saw you on YouTube. You were strutting around like a chicken?
No.
Doing that crowing thing?
No. No, but you're aware of what's going on.
Right.
But you're just really, your body gets really relaxed. You're in a meditative state. So, you know, I go out and teach people meditation, how to meditate and guided imagery and things like that. And a lot of people tell me that they can't get to that state because they won't allow themselves to. And see, so hypnotherapy kind of helps you get to that place.
So we're talking about the alphas, the betas, the different states of mind.
Right.
In meditation, we're going to...
Alpha.
And hypnosis.
Sometimes down into theta.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So you've got beta, our waking conscious state,
right,
like we are now talking. Then you have alpha, where you're relaxed, kind of taking things in, you know, watching TV when you're relaxed on the couch.
Definitely. The brain's not working much at all.
Right. Your conscious mind is kind of dropped down. And actually, alpha is one of those states, one of the reasons why they have those 30-minute long commercials on at 2 a.m. in the morning.
Mm.
It's because advertisers know that you're in a relaxed and taking things in kind of state.
Mm.
And not really questioning what you're seeing on TV. So you're going to be more to take them on and say, oh, I need that product.
Right,
yeah,
that's the subliminal advertising, right, all that kind of stuff.
You bet. And so the advertisers understand this. So that's why they get people to do do these 30-minute ads at that time. Then theta is our dreaming state. Our rapid eye movement occurs at that time. And the visualizations, like even before you start to really go to sleep, you start to get visualizations. That's our theta wave. And then further, a very much slower wave is delta, when we're in deep sleep and our body's getting its restorative sleep. It gets.
Is that when I start snoring really low?
Yeah.
Or drooling.
Drooling, right.
You bet. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, those are our four brainwave states. And with hypnosis, it starts off with alpha. Most of the time, it's work in alpha. But in some of the deeper levels, like the Esdaile state and the Psychard state, where you get people in a very, very deep state of trance, it gets down into the theta.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I was studying with Robert Diltz and Todd Epstein, one of the things that Robert brought into the conversation with, they have the meta model, what you need in order to change, to model, to get to where you want to go. But what he brought in was the ecology of the change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it ecological?
Right.
Does it actually fit within your makeup?
Yeah.
I mean, is it something that would really benefit you?
Right.
You know, or not?
Yep, and it should that ecology should, you know, go to the people around that person,
mm-hmm.
in addition to the person, but the people around that person, and that way everything does fit. Yeah, that's one of the things I learned when I was learning NLP, was that the ecology should spread, you know, to the rest of their world,
mm-hmm.
around them, so that everything can transition the way it should.
Yeah. Todd, at the time when he was becoming the master practitioner that he became, he would play with me, and we'd, you know, do a little hypnosis. And he did a great regressive, going back in memory with my my hang up with relationships, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like boom, boom, boom. We kept going back, and the relationship before that, and we were going through every, you know, intimate thing, to where all of a sudden it was the 4-year-old
mm-hmm.
being chased around the garage by the little girl.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, who wanted to kiss me. Most exciting thing that ever happened to me in my life, right? And she caught me, and she wanted to kiss me, and I was having so much fun. I guess I was shy, and I, no, pushed her away, and I went running around the garage again, thinking she's chasing me, right? Mm-hmm. And I am just off the charts happy. And come around the front of the garage, she wasn't chasing me at all. She was out there kissing the other boy out front of the garage.
Oh, ouch.
Knocked me, and I went like, oh, got it. No yeah. wonder I can't trust women. No wonder. And then, you know, a couple issues with my mother after that. It was just like, whoa, this species is like to be really kind of, you know, be on guard with.
Yeah.
But the point of the story is we went back and we installed, and this is the part I want to talk about, mm-hmm. we installed different choices, different ways that I could have responded
right.
in that time, from letting her kiss me the first time, or to me turning around and kissing her, or any of this, because the idea and NLP, this was, you know, if you only have one way of acting, you're trapped.
Yeah.
If you have two ways of acting, well, you're in a dilemma, the either or. It's not until you have 3 or 4 or 5 different choices
mm-hmm.
are you actually free.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that the brain can't tell the difference between kind of a conjured or made up memory
right.
to the real memory. And this is where the magic of hypnosis comes in. It's like, wow.
Absolutely.
I can squash these things together to where if I go back to access that little boy being chased by the girl, I can't help but think about the, you know, the way it went the first time, but also the other possibilities.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it was afterwards where I got in my, you know, I got into a relationship and I got married, you know, way too fast.
The wrong choice.
Well, no, it wasn't ecological. You know, if you don't learn about personal relationships for many years,
right.
then you're going to get a crash course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. But with like that early childhood experience that you had there,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, the effect that something like that little experience there with such an emotional charge to it
right.
can stick with you for the rest of your lifetime and,
exactly.
and make the choices, you know, that you influence the choices that you make subsequent to that. And especially when we're younger like that, these lessons that we mm-hmm. learn at that time are so much more implanted because our conscious mind doesn't come online really until between
right.
the ages of 8 and 12. So all these things that you take in because you're a little sponge when you're that age, you have no real conscious filter. You're just a subconscious just taking in everything.
So you've checked out Bruce Lipton's Biology of Belief? Is that where you're coming from?
There's pieces of that in there.
Right,
you bet.
Yeah.
And we can take on things that, don't really make any sense. You know, if we had a conscious filter, we could say, oh, well, you know, she just, I pushed her away, so I understand why she didn't want to kiss me. So
she, or she was an idiot. She's just an idiot. There was something wrong with her. She doesn't know. Yeah, where is she now? Anyhow, go ahead.
But
I don't have any issues left with that at all.
It's a good thing you've worked them all through. Yeah. But going back to those and giving yourself that a different set of memories, perhaps.
Right.
And
or possibilities.
Possibilities.
Yeah.
And creating an emotional charge with those new possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Can give you those additional possibilities all through the rest of your life. I've read about certain phobias and fears that people have had all their lives completely collapsing and going away once that one memory that had traumatized people can be changed. Just change, take the emotional charge out of it. And replace it with
isn't that amazing?
It is.
I mean, that's just like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, people are suffering for decades of it or something, and then going back, changing it, and realizing that they had a whole new set of.
It's almost like domino effect.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. Everybody.
It's
almost like the structure of those choices or the paradigm of sorts shifts into all these other, I have other choices in all these other aspects. But the amazing part was that I wouldn't have pulled that memory up at all.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
If we hadn't gone back.
Right.
I mean, that would still be playing havoc on me today.
Right. Just that little kissing game.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they could still be playing havoc on me. So how do you know when it's completely like, I mean, somewhere along the line, and this is that part of just fix me, doc.
Right.
I don't have to do any of the work.
Yeah.
Afterwards, you know, it's like, well, what? I left. You hypnotized me, but then, you know, I still got in a fight with my wife.
Right. So
you still have to do
you got
to
do the work.
Do the work.
Yeah. And that's one thing I make very clear with my clients is that we're co-partners in this. I'm not the hypnotist that's going to make you do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to assist you in making the right choices.
So like suggestions, right?
Yeah. They're suggestions that I'm giving. And in fact, I even have them sign a paper that they're going to be a co-creator in this, and they will be putting all their efforts toward getting to where they want to be.
Right, they told me to set that intention that means
so much. They have to actually want to change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't want to change,
come in, Billy. I don't care how much you kick and scream. You're going to be put under hypnosis, and we're going to fix you, you little. So you have to be willing
and in
agreement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
No, because we're out talking to people about our workshop, and some people are telling me, I really don't want to quit. I know I have to quit.
Mm.
Okay, if you have that mindset, I don't know if it'll really work. You have to really get to the point where you want to quit.
Agreed. Yeah, and if maybe your mate wants you to quit, but you're still, I still enjoy going out and smoking my cigarettes. Probably not going to work. No.
Yeah.
It's just not.
It may work for a time, and then you go back to, because you really don't want to do it. You have to want to make change, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and getting to that point usually is one of those crash and burn events
that
brings you.
Yeah.
So is this what you're finding these days? I think the same with therapists and counselors or anybody who's wanting to create better health.
Yeah.
There's some red flag that comes up and all of a sudden it's like, geez, I really need to do something.
Yeah.
And then after the need to do something, there's like, you know, and I really want to do it too.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when I worked at, because I did a 7-year job at the local rehab. The local drug rehab, and anyone that came in that was forced to be there, I saw 2 and 3 times.
Right.
you know, in my 7 years. And the people that really wanted to be there, I didn't see again. You know?
Right.
So it works that way with everything.
Can you instill a want in somebody? I mean, could somebody come in and say, well, I need to... I mean, with neurolinguistic programming, it was so much about the... Oh, if you want to do something, go model somebody who's doing it.
Right, right. And yes, there is, you know, if somebody wants to have a want, then they want it, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
So it's...
I want to want my wife again. I don't want her right now.
So, you know, if there's even that kind of sliver of opportunity there, you know, that they want this, it's there. It's already there.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
You bet.
Just bring that up more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
You can illustrate it for them better and help them see that this them wanting this would benefit their life. And you can, you know, give them pictures in their mind and feelings, good feelings about this change, how it would affect their life, and perhaps bring them to a better place and go, oh, yeah, I want that. And there's a way of instilling that. But, yeah, just depends on if they're open to it.
Yeah.
So a hypnosis, you know, schedule an appointment with you.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like? I kind of come in. It's going to be an hour or so.
Right. First initial session is usually an hour and a half. I want to have about a good half hour so I can interview them, find out where they're at, what they're looking to do. I try and get that cleared up initially
over
on the phone.
Sure. Right.
But, you know, some people it's very basic. It's like, I want to quit smoking. And, okay. How long you've been smoking? How many do you smoke a day? And where do you smoke? Things like that. I find out as much as I can about their behavior so that I can, you know, create my suggestions to, you know, tailor my suggestions to that. then if they've never been hypnotized, never had any experience with hypnosis, never, you know, seen anything about it, I'll explain how hypnosis works. And then I'll be giving them suggestions and they'll be in a very relaxed state. And that they just, they'll be listening and it'll sound like, kind of like a bedtime story.
Mm-hmm.
Just relax.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes a very easy event that way. It's, there's no scary stuff.
Mm-hmm. And when, so I'm being hypnotized and let's say the suggestions are coming in, do they just come in the frame of the, where I'm more accessing my, you know, body. It's visual, auditory, kinesthetic. Is it kind of a full circle kind of experience, or how's it?
It is a full circle experience. Like when I do my suggestions, I will include things of, you know, touch and you know, visualizations.
You get some taste and smell in there, too. It's like you smell the roses.
Yeah. Oh, smell the roses or taste the ashtray as I use in my smoking visualization. It's that's one of the things that allows people to get away from smoking is I have them visualize any time they put a cigarette in their mouth, they're going to be tasting a very nasty, dirty ashtray that probably has some tobacco spittle and some old stale beer in it.
Yes. I don't know if I want that image in my head. Thank you.
But I do find it's very effective to have people avoid cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is only part of it, part of the smoking cessation hypnosis. But that's, you want to have an avoidance mechanism so that they'll want to avoid this behavior in the first place. But again, I give them a much better method to go to, a much better place to go to.
So we talked a little bit before we came on air that I used a book, How to Quit Smoking, years ago, and that they talked about changing five things instead of just one in order to help facilitate a kind of a somebody finding a new stasis and new recreate themselves.
Right.
Cigarettes, they talked about cigarettes being like a reward.
Right.
That you give yourself 30 times a day.
Right.
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm staying back and look at my work, whatever, whatever. And that So you're saying the thing that you give them that's better is kind of a different way of rewarding themselves.
Yes. I give them a key phrase that they can tell themselves whenever they're feeling, like during my hypnosis, I will give them enough suggestions that they're going to want to avoid cigarettes, but inevitably, you know, people will still get some cravings a little bit later on.
Right.
So I give them a key phrase that they can use so that whenever they get that feeling...
It's not devil be gone, is it?
No, not devil be gone. I actually give them a freedom phrase. I have them use the word freedom. And I give them... Actually, they have a symbol that I have them just visualize in their head, their idea of what freedom is to them.
Mm.
So that they can have freedom. Freedom from cigarettes. The freedom to feel good. And then I give them... also, when they say the word freedom, in addition to a symbol that they have in their head, one symbol that one client used was Harley Davidson. You know, taking that ride on his Harley represents freedom to him. So he used that symbol, and then
the sound of the pipes, the feel of the air. Going, hey.
Plus the money you save from smoking, you can go buy a Harley, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, eventually, or at least the gas.
At least the gas.
But and actually, it's funny because Harley Davidson kind of corresponds with the crossroads that I use at the beginning of the hypnosis. As I tell them that they're at a crossroads, I take them down the path of continuing to smoke. All right, so you can take that path, and we go down that path, and it's emphysema, maybe lung cancer,
right.
Seeing your grandchildren crying at your gravesite because you've died early, hospitalization stays, all these things.
Yes.
And then I can say, no, let's go back to the crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take the path of freedom and see that sign of freedom there. There's that Harley Davidson logo. Let's go down that path. And, you know, your health improves, you have more money, and we go down that path.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I go further into the hypnosis, we go into the feelings that they have whenever they use that word freedom. And freedom is the very best feeling you've ever had 1,000 times over. And
1,000
times.
How about 10,000 times?
We can build up to that, too. But I have them remember the very best feeling they've ever had. And once they have that feeling in their body, I build it up and build it up and build it up to 1,000 times. So that they're feeling really, really good whenever they say to themselves the word freedom. And then cigarettes become just like, why would I bother?
Yeah, right.
Especially when they taste like an ashtray.
A stark difference. We're talking to Daniel Gross, CHT, Certified Hypnotherapist, and Melissa Stone, CMT.
Mm-hmm.
CMT. And we're going to come back and talk about their upcoming Freedom from Smoking workshop, which is part of the American Cancer Society's 37th Great American Smokeout. It's going to be happening November 15th. At 7 p.m. and then Saturday, November 17th at 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. So there's three different sessions that you'll be able to check out. We're talking about the Freedom from Smoking workshop that I don't know if the American Cancer Society knows about you guys doing this, but this is a week every year, every time during the year?
It's a day every year.
A day every year.
That they put out that you should quit smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of brought it up to Daniel and said, hey, we should do something on that day to help people quit smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And so we put together this little workshop.
Nice. And just with you using the word freedom before when you make suggestions, I like that it's just freedom from smoking also.
Mm-hmm.
And so the event's Thursday, November 15th at 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And you were saying it's 90 minutes.
90 minutes.
And then on Saturday, the 17th, you'll be doing an 11 a.m. That'll go 90 minutes and then another 2 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
That's for all the masses, the hundreds of people that will be coming to say,
yeah, so it gives you know, three choices to find a time that fits your schedule.
Mm-hmm. And how's it going to work? You have breathing exercises here, a little guided imagery, and
mm-hmm.
and then The hypnosis is group hypnosis?
Yeah, well, it's the whole thing will be a group session, and I'll start with some breathing techniques just to get people relaxed.
Okay.
And
to get them in that alpha place.
Yeah, to get them in that place, because a lot of people don't know how to breathe. You know, they're breathing.
What do you mean? We're all breathing. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but we're all breathing from our chest and not our bellies.
Well, and this is part of that neurolinguistic programming. If you're a visual... more visually oriented, a lot of times the breathing is up high in the chest. If auditory, it's more in the middle, and the kinesthetic is the big full breath.
Yeah. So my whole deal is I try to teach breathing to everybody in everything I do. If I'm giving you a massage, I'm teaching you how to breathe. If I'm teaching yoga, I'm teaching you how to breathe. It's kind of like the first step is to teach people how to breathe, and then you can start teaching them, you know, the rest.
And learning that's pretty easy. It's not like big high pressure.
No.
You know, you're going to get graded. You're a lousy breather. You'll never breathe well.
No.
Go back.
I guarantee
back
everyone can
time.
Do it.
Okay, cool. And in a short amount of time.
So we'll start with that, and then Daniel will do his hypnosis for about 45 minutes or so. And then I have a guided imagery that kind of helps you break the ritual, because what I realized is, because I've never smoked.
Uh-huh.
I've never smoked cigarettes. As a teenager, I faked it just to be in the pier with the groups, but I never really enjoyed it and never did it. But
this is partly with this. I'm thinking it's got the kind of the addictions in general kind of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I worked with addiction, you know, for 7 years with my stay up at the camp recovery. And but one day, about 5 years ago, I was sitting in my office, and there's a water department across the street from my office, and the guy comes out every day at the same time and smokes his cigarettes, and he does the same pacing back and forth, and I started noticing this. So I started realizing that this is a whole ritual thing with people. They go to the same bench to smoke. They smoke after meals. They smoke after sex.
I'm looking forward to break time. We're going to have that cigarette.
Yeah, you know, and it's always the same deal. So I created a guided imagery that helps you breathe in at that bench rather than smoking.
Nice.
And so I recorded it and put it out there in the world, and you can get it on, it's on my Balance Toolkit download on my website. And and so I'll do a little bit of that guided imagery with people, and then I'm going to explain to them also about how to detox your body physically, and then we'll give them a voucher to come back and use the infrared sauna, so that they can use that as one of their tools to help them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's kind of how it's going to go.
Yeah, breath is so important. I mean, whether you're doing Qigong or yoga or whatever, the breathing aspect. And then, Dana, you know that a lot of times when people are getting caught up in fear, that they're running some visuals.
Absolutely.
That create the sensations that make them tighten up, and then the breath gets very shallow.
Yeah. Very shallow.
It's just like, oh, I can't imagine any other way but disaster coming. And so to breathe deeper, I mean, this is, as a cigarette smoker from like 12 till 25, it was that very much that wanting to take a deep breath.
Yeah.
And the cigarettes gave the sensation as if I'm taking a
deep
breath.
Right, and that's part of my guided meditation is teaching you how to breathe so that your body still thinks you're smoking.
Mm-hmm.
So while you're at that bench and you're doing the breathing techniques, your body still thinks you're smoking. So you're breaking that ritual of actually smoking, and you're doing something healthier for yourself by breathing.
You just look a little silly bringing your hand up to your face. Drawing and nothing.
No. But I've found, too, that with smokers, that is their excuse to actually go out and breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Take a break.
You know,
when they can
release
take
stress.
A break. Yeah. They can take a break without a cigarette. They can deep breathe without a cigarette. Mm-hmm. In fact, they'll get a lot more oxygen in their body.
Definitely.
By not constricting the blood vessels in their lungs with cigarette smoke. So, yeah, these breathing techniques that she has there will definitely you know, give them what they're looking for, what they really want, and that's a break and a chance to get some oxygen in their bodies and a relaxation.
Well, and the relaxation is the piece that I was going to go to, because it's the nicotine actually gives less oxygen in the bloodstream to where we feel relaxed because we're basically suffocating.
Yeah.
Yeah, I barely got any oxygen going in right now.
Yeah.
This, and it feels like relaxation.
Right.
But it's really not taking care of anything.
No, it's not. And it's actually the body's constricting, and
right.
It's actually very much countering any kind of relaxation. It's been this habit, so you're doing this again and again, and you're equating it with relaxation. But once you experience real relaxation, you realize that the smoking isn't even close.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing I will suggest to my clients too, as they're under hypnosis, is that, you know, their relaxation is going to be much deeper when they experience freedom.
Mm-hmm.
The freedom to relax, the freedom to feel good, and that's so much better.
You know, a lot of it is ignorance. Many smokers who smoke for years started young,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't even know the difference between relaxation that there was even that to, you know, tap into. Oh, this is just the way I am and whatever. And so it's part of learning about ourselves and how our body works and how our mind works.
Right.
I'm thinking that hypnosis in a group must be a little more challenging.
Not necessarily. I mean, it's always better one on one. It's easier to tailor things to mm-hmm. a certain client. But there are many, many things that we can do in a group situation that will absolutely help people quit smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, there's like with the freedom, you know, people have their own symbols for freedom. So they can just visualize those. I don't have to give them their freedom symbol. They have it.
Mm-hmm.
They just put it in their minds when I give them the suggestion to get their freedom symbol. So I can take them all down the same path, and that's the freedom from smoking,
mm-hmm.
and the freedom to feel good. So it's not much of a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess for me, I'm just imagining one-on-one, the way to calibrate to what's going on with the person is more in tune or specific. But then again, it's a perfect fit for Melissa to kind of get them into a place where they're generally in a relaxed state anyhow.
You bet.
Yeah, and a lot of times, too, people are afraid because, you know, we don't like to do things that we don't know about, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this way they can come as a group. They have other peers that are in the same place that they're at. That makes them feel a little comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can come to the workshop and kind of see what's going on. And then they would have, you know, they can come see us privately and if they want to do more one-on-one,
mm-hmm.
you know. But it's kind of when you get people there as a group, it's easier for them to show up.
Right.
You know.
And that's like with my Living Light weight loss seminars that I do in San Jose and Santa Cruz. When I do my offers, we have it for two people, because having that extra person there to kind of help support you to come to something, especially with weight loss people, it's when you're overweight, you're self-conscious, mm-hmm. you're a little scared about what could be going on there. Having that extra person there to help you come in and be supportive is always a great thing to have.
Mm-hmm. That way, if you both start smoking again, you can point fingers at each other.
Well, it's always good to have a partner in anything you're trying to change.
Yeah.
You
know? Support, right.
Yeah, it's always good to have mm-hmm. that support. You can call them up and say, you know, hey, I'm having a hard day today, and you can help talk each other down, you know?
Yeah, you know, part of the piece of that book was that because of the rewards they talked about in quitting smoking is that don't worry about if you start rewarding yourself by having treats or ice cream or whatever, because the amount of energy you're going to get after you quit smoking,
mm-hmm.
you'll burn off, you'll be able to get rid of that, not a problem.
Right.
Yeah.
But I would imagine it would be difficult if you had the person who wanted to lose weight and quit smoking at the same time.
Right. Right.
Well, and that's, you know, that's the other thing about detoxing your body, too, because that's a lot of the fear, too, is people are afraid that when they quit smoking, they're going to gain weight.
Right.
Right. So if you're detoxing your body physically, you're pulling the nicotine out of your body, you're detoxing. In the infrared sauna, you burn like 632 calories in 30 minutes.
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up, all the, all the things, the cell health, the lower blood pressure, relaxation, wound healing,
mm-hmm.
pain relief.
Yeah. So if you're, you know, if you're doing a couple different things, you have a better chance of being really successful at it, and you're not going to gain weight, you know.
And a piece of all this is the, and this is where you have to show up again, the body care afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I quit smoking cigarettes, this is like, oh, change four or five things. Well, with my quit smoking cigarettes, maybe I should try exercising too. And,
sure.
And start thinking different thoughts in my head, and maybe express my emotions to my coworkers or my mm-hmm. significant other, and and take the time to, in those troubled, those tension moments where it's like, oh, do we go back?
Yeah.
Call upon something bigger, or you know, take a walk in the woods and get in touch with nature and say, wow, my goodness, you know, there's no way I want to smoke a cigarette and. Beautiful nature. It's also pure and wonderful.
Especially up here at UCSC, right? So instead of going outside and smoking in the redwoods, you can look at the redwoods.
Right.
And see how beautiful and magnificent they are, you know?
Yeah. Get back to appreciating and the gratitude part of mm-hmm. of life. Of going like, wow, and I'm not smoking, I feel great.
Yep.
And there's great research on the efficacy of hypnosis with tobacco use.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, this has been going on for years, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
When were the first studies started, I wonder?
They were using hypnosis for actually quite a few decades mm-hmm. now for quitting smoking. But like some of the studies that we have there back in the 80s, you know, showing the efficacy of quitting smoking using hypnosis. Actually, hypnosis is one of the very best ways to quit mm-hmm. smoking. The other ones like the patch and the gum and stuff like that, it just continues your nicotine addiction is mm-hmm. all it does. And it's a nice, expensive way to get your nicotine in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of the other drugs that are out there don't have near the effectiveness. I've seen like in the 20% for using the prescription drugs.
Right.
And so that's why doctors will refer patients to people like myself to get their patients to quit smoking. Hmm. Because it is, you know, it goes right to where they live, right? Right to where that. And it's not actually an addiction, a physical addiction. It's a psychological addiction. But as far as the actual physiological, the body isn't actually addicted to nicotine. Mm-hmm. There's, you can quit nicotine. You know, people quit cold turkey all the time.
Some people say it's harder than heroin.
Some people say it's
harder,
but it's all the psychological aspect of
mm-hmm.
it. It's not the actual body. You know, you're not going to be curled up in a fetal ball and you know, because you're shaking it. Yeah, you're not going to be detoxing like you would a heroin addiction or alcohol addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's mostly all psychological. People have conditioned themselves over the years and maybe decades that they've been smoking to believe that this is their pacifier. This is their way to relax. And we give them something completely better for them, and they can quit like that.
There's also self-hypnosis things out there.
Yep.
I've got a buddy back in Maryland who likes to talk about himself being able to put himself under and make these shifts, and it seems to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if he starts to slip a little bit, he goes back in. Do you give folks? I mean, is there a type of? Well, you give them the phrases,
right? Exactly, and that will take them back to that same state where I had them when they were very deeply relaxed and they were in a very positive frame of mind, and where they were having the best feeling they've ever had 1,000 times over.
Mm-hmm.
And they can go right back to that same place by just saying that trigger word. So it's a post-hypnotic suggestion that I give them. So it is a form of self-hypnosis, you bet.
Mm-hmm. I know in neurolinguistic programming when I was studying it that they also had anchors of kinesthetic touch.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, you keep putting all the good ones in and you have a problem here, just squeeze your little finger. And so I'm thinking there's maybe visually oriented accessing of where you go also.
Right. And that when I give them their freedom word,
mm-hmm.
Then I also, you know, they have their freedom symbol where we mm-hmm. had them at the crossroads.
Got it.
So that symbol is a visualization. So I have them visualize that symbol, say the word to themselves, freedom, and they're free.
And they have the feeling, the kinesthetic feeling that comes up and go like, oh, yeah.
It feels so great.
Mm-hmm.
It feels
right.
Good to be free, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Fun. And this is the first, and you two have just kind of met each other recently, and
mm-hmm.
and like-minded folks kind of yeah. going like, oh, what else can we do? Let's do this. And
the amazing Facebook helped us.
Connect. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, the amazing universe, because I've been, you know, Kevin, I've been doing this for, you know, 10 years by myself,
mm-hmm.
and I've always wanted to partner up with somebody,
mm-hmm.
and
seems like a good fit.
Yeah.
Because,
absolutely.
You know, people get a good jump into mm-hmm. some transformational shift.
Yeah.
I met some amazing people doing this new work, you know, doing hypnosis, and she's definitely amazing. So,
mm-hmm. Aww,
yeah, no, she is. She's an amazing woman and a great spirit in the world that's out to help others.
Yeah,
absolutely. So this is the first. How many people can you hold for each session?
Probably 20, 25 people.
Oh, really?
In my studio, yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, big studio.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And how do folks get a hold of you? Probably they've all been wondering forever. Like, you've been talking, I've been waiting, I've got to go, now I'm in the car. And how do folks get a hold of you easily?
So the website is balancedstudiospa.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a link on there under the workshops page that they can go and sign up for the workshop. Or they can call me at 831-335-8335.
335-8335. That makes it easy.
I know. It's an easy number, huh?
Yeah, that's a real one. And Daniel, you got the 234-8838.
Correct. Area code 831-234-8838. And you can also reach me at daniel@hypnosissantacruz.com.
Hmm. Other things, we talked a little bit, and I don't know if you want to put this out in the universe, but
yep.
how, you know, the radio, because you're both, when we were looking at you being a co-host here, I thought, oh, there'd be some Saturday mornings, evenings I could go out and have fun.
Exactly.
If I had Melissa here doing that.
Well, and I had a show on KSCO there for a while,
yeah,
about
right.
a year and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So natural fit, and you've done radio. And so how does it work on the blog, doing the radio blog thing?
I don't know. We've just been talking about it, and it's something I've been thinking about for a while, that I wanted to kind of do a radio blog on the Internet
mm-hmm.
where I can kind of bring my show back and interview guests and put some healthy topics out there.
Kind of have archives, and people could
mm-hmm.
They go to your site and they could learn
yeah.
about some.
Yeah, mm-hmm. like I have all my past shows from my other gig mm-hmm. on my website, and you know, because they're topics that you can use over and over and over again.
Yeah, they don't go.
They don't
bad.
Go away, and no. I have all of our stuff on there too.
Oh, fun!
Yeah, all of our talks are on there too.
I still have to learn how to do it. It's on my list. I'm telling you, people, it's on my list. But you two will definitely get a recording of this show, and you can use however you
oh,
want.
Oh, definitely, that'll be on my
and,
site. Yeah,
awesome.
Daniel's site.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So we've been kind of kicking around the idea that we could do a blogspot radio weekly show or something and put some stuff out there.
Yeah. Sweet. That'd be fun.
And we're definitely going to do different workshops. We're going to work on a marketing workshop here next.
A marketing workshop.
A marketing for uh-huh. For other healers like ourselves.
Oh, okay.
You know, this community puts out a lot of massage therapists and a lot of acupuncturists. You know, there's schools in Santa Cruz that are putting out these healers, and a lot of them don't know how to market themselves.
Yeah, right.
And it's something that I'm pretty good at.
Hmm.
So I have a workshop that I've done in the past about marketing for small business, where I kind of show them how to market themselves on the Internet
mm-hmm.
and how to use, you know, the intentions and meditations and things like that to help themselves market. And then Daniel's going to put together some hypnotherapy for success and abundance.
Mm-hmm.
And
keep people in the right mindset.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. And at least get them over the awkwardness or the I can't do
right
kind of mentality before they go into it.
So. Yeah, a lot of healers in this area, you know, they have a hard time with asking for money for what they do. And that blocks mm-hmm. you from creating success and abundance for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so right off the gate, you're blocked. You can't get clients that want to pay you because you have this mental block that you shouldn't be earning money for doing a healing service.
Hmm.
But we all have to make a living, you know?
Yeah, and you can always give back with the money that you make in other ways.
Yeah, you can give to charity and you mm-hmm. can, yeah.
Yeah, do other things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a big one. I know there's a lot of folks in town. Ben Salzman comes to mind as
yep.
one person who's trying to make an effect on that.
Yep.
And, yeah, it's difficult, really. Change isn't an easy thing. Otherwise, we would all be living in nirvana right now.
Exactly.
See how that doesn't work for you? Let's not do that anymore. Okay.
Yeah.
But we get caught up into it. Yeah.
It's scary. It's a scary place to not know what's in front of you.
I think the hypnosis thing would probably work in the Republican Party and some of the petroleum companies, the CEOs there.
Oh, wow. It's funny you mentioned that with the whole election coming up here. You see a lot of hypnotic language
exactly.
and NLP techniques being mm-hmm. used
yeah.
and abused out there during this election season, and it's educational watching this, but I also find the bile rising in my throat when I watch it. And just
when you know a little bit about it, it is you see the manipulation,
yeah,
just nonstop, and all the things that are being said and are being alluded to, and it's really. And they know. I mean, this is stuff that Hitler used.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you get folks with failed, miserable lives, and you start feeding them the stuff so they can feel part of something bigger than themselves, and they can forget themselves and feel like part of a winner, and
yeah.
whether it's sports teams or, you know, geez, it's... human beings are so sensitive and fragile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when they're having their emotional buttons pushed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, we see it all the time.
Yeah.
Especially now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a difficult one. Well, any little last words here? We've got about 8 minutes left, and I've got a 5-minute song in there. So,
Just want to thank you for having us on.
Yeah, thanks, Ken.
Oh,
always a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. Melissa, what you brought, who was it, Danny Keith last time?
From Second Harvest Food Bank, which is coming up. So, they start right around Thanksgiving collecting food.
Right. Yeah, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, more and more these days.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on finding each other.
Thank you.
Excuse me, to do this work in the world, and wish you every success.
Thank you.
And I kind of wish I was still smoking so that I could,
so you could come
and see what it's all about. I mean, just go be a fly on the wall. There is a cost for this. I just want to let folks know that. But
there's also a discount for students and UCSC staff and faculty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Freedom from Smoking Workshop. It's going to be happening November 15th. That's a Thursday at 7 p.m. And also on Saturday, November 17th, two workshops, 1:11 a.m. and 1 at 2 p.m. at the Balance Studio Spa, 912 Lakeside Drive, Felton. Lakeside Drive, where is that close? Because I keep wanting to visualize it in my mind. So when I'm driving back on the...
Henry Cowell.
By the motorcycle.
Yeah, I'm kind of near Henry Cowell.
That one exit or entrance?
Yeah, it's called Forest Lakes. It's a little community in Felton.
Uh-huh.
And I'm smack dab in the middle of the community.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that kind of near the Bigfoot thing?
Or? Yes. I'm the very next right after that.
Okay.
After the restaurant there.
As, yeah. you're heading towards Santa Cruz.
Yep.
Uh-huh. 912 Lakeside Drive, Felton. Breathing exercises, 1 full hour of group hypnotherapy, guided imagery, useful information about how to holistically detox your body of nicotine, a good one, and a voucher for a future infrared sauna treatment. Nice. Again, thanks, you guys. Any plans for this afternoon? It's a gorgeous day out there.
We're both working. I'm working at the spa. He's got a weight loss seminar to do. Yeah,
at my Hypnosis Santa Cruz office there at 5435 Scotts Valley Drive in Scotts Valley.
Okay, 5435
Scotts Valley Drive.
Right, that's the main drag there.
Right, yep. Right across from Scotts Valley Feed.
Yep. Cool. Thank you again, you two. Stay tuned for LC. She's coming in to serve you breakfast in bed. You know what it is, women's music for everyone. And I just want to remind you folks to love yourself first. Love yourself enough to go to this Freedom from Smoking workshop if that's part of your program these days in life. And then take that love and pass it around to everybody else.